is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we take a look at what's going on in both Major League Baseball and the NBA Finals as the seconds are ticking away in the third quarter. Right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder with a 91-74 lead over the Pacers with, again, the seconds winding down here in the third quarter. 91-74. Your live line right now is -16.5 for the Thunder, and your live total is 225.5. So we have had a very high-scoring third quarter. Remember, this game closed at 228. At some point in the second quarter, we were down to a live line of 216.5. Now we are up to 225.5, as there has been 66 points scored here in this third quarter. But let's transition away from the NBA Finals and talk a little Stanley Cup Final, as joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line from Covers.com, he is Josh Ingles. Josh, thanks so much for joining us here on VSiN, and let's talk puck, man. What have you noticed after the first two games of this series? What's your big takeaway from a series tied at a game apiece with both games going into overtime? Is it as simple as to say, this is an even series, my friend?
Yeah, it's interesting to say where we are. I think Florida -115 on the series price right now. So far, it's one of those things where you think about it, there's so much time between games, and as a handicapper, you're thinking, okay, everything's pretty efficient. Where am I going with everything? And I've been thinking about it all day. And it's third period. In my head, I'm like, find me last goal, third period, three-way line. Because I think it's going to be mispriced. Because Florida's a favorite, so they'll be shorter. And Edmonton right now has showed us in those two games that they can't be put down late. Mm. That's just what you get with top-end talent. So the way I see, I think right now you can get Edmonton to score the last goal in regulation at even money. So you have route one, which is they're winning and they get the empty net, or the other way, where they continue to press Florida, who looks tired, looks old, the later this goes. I think this is a spot where you could absolutely do this. I don't think you might not be able to get everything on it as you do in other markets, but mm-hmm. Just the way it's been going, what I've been thinking about this week, that's, I think, the biggest edge. And it's only priced because Florida is a favorite. But I think Edmonton certainly has a better than 50% chance to score the final goal in regulation because they can push when they're down, and the empty net goals there. Groundbreaking handicapping, but those are the things that you kind of look at. And as a bettor, we're like, now I got to find a market to the way I think it is. And, I mean, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's obviously a lot more markets than usual, especially in the tertiary ones.
For sure. I mean, for me, looking at games three and game number four, like, the market, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. Going into this series, I believed that we were going to have Florida as a higher-priced favorite at home as to compared to what Edmonton was on home ice. So Edmonton opened up -130. They got as short as -115 in game number one. Same thing in game number two, closed at around -120 or so, maybe even less in some spots. And I expected Florida to be a heavier favorite at when they're at home. Right now we're seeing Florida upwards of -142. To me, it just means I'm going to be on Edmonton in both games in Florida. You're giving me this plus money price on the Oilers in both of these games. I believe that they're going to win at least one of these games here in Florida, and I'll take the plus money price each night.
Yeah, I think if we're just talking strictly prices in this game, any spot, I mean, round two, every away team was a favorite. I understand what home ice means. I understand that home ice is about 30 points to neutral. I understand the advantage that last change gets, but I think you're right where it's, if you can get any away team in this at in the series at +110 or better, I think you just kind of have to get it. And you absolutely nailed it on the head saying, you could get Florida. I got Florida game two, +110. They went to -1. There was a 20-point movement before drop. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty big swings. And if this game we've seen with overtime back-to-back, it's a coin flip. And it goes back to the, why are you looking at weird markets? Because everything's efficient. Everything's down the line. This is a tough game to go. One thing that we'll have to certainly look at when Edmonton goes on the road, they tend to split up Dreisaitl and McDavid sometimes because they don't have last change. So we'll look to that because obviously there's a big edge when they play together. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins looks like he will be a true game time decision. And that is massive because the aggregate with him and Zach Hyman, you're talking about 30 to 35 points of players. I mean, that's 40% of their power play one for a team that runs that power play one at about 80%. So certainly some big things to look at. Another takeaway where you can look in the prop business is you're looking at Ekblad and Seth Jones. Like, I love betting line mates to score because I don't think it's priced in as properly. But you can get Ekblad and Jones together for a point around plus 300. And they're going the double D power play one. Power play two, same thing. They're going to double defense on it, but those guys are playing a lot of minutes and they're playing a lot of minutes together. So I think there's something there with those two power play defensemen.
I love betting the shots on goal market, especially when it comes to Stanley Cup playoffs, because
praise to you, my friend. It's a tough thing to live and die on.
Of course it is, especially when the shots get taken away from you, and they've happened to me so many times.
They always get taken away.
So 2 for 2 so far in this Stanley Cup final, just playing Leon Draisaitl to go over 2.5 shots on goal. Full disclosure, Josh, he's my bet to win the Conn Smythe. I placed that. I'm still backing it. The game winner in game number one was huge. The goal in game number two, it helps. Yeah, the market's kind of soured on him a little bit because they lost that game, and Sam Bennett continues to score. But I'm still on Draisaitl. He has gone over this number in the first two games. I'm comfortable laying the minus 170 price on it to go over once again in game number three. And yes, in both games one and two, he had 3 shots on goal in the first period, only to start the second period with 2 shots on goal. So they took it away in both games. But I'm on Draisaitl once again to have at least 3 shots on goal here in this game number three. Is that something that you'll be on as well?
I'm really interested to see how the line shake up. Jeff Skinner was at the skate in Ryan Nugent Hopkins' spot, but sources are saying that it was just a placeholder. So really interesting to see how these lines shake up. Right now, your boy Leon's playing with what would be the best line, with Evander Kane on one side and I believe Kasperi Kapanen on the other side. But this depth is really getting tested without RNH there. And another thing that's a really greasy thing, my buddy Andy Francis was telling me about it. The humidity factor in Florida is a weird thing where they might be increasing the humidity within that building. Why? Why does that make sense? Because it slows down the fastest human being in the league. If Florida can get crappier ice conditions, it will absolutely slow the edge work down from guys like Connor McDavid.
That's a tremendous angle, Josh, because now I'm thinking, I've already thought that the value was on the under in this game just because we had the first two games go to overtime, the first two games go over. Naturally, everyone's going to be like, over. And I'm thinking, well, 6.5, we already know is like an aberration when it comes to a Stanley Cup final game. Yes, games 1 and 2 went over, but I was already leaning towards the under. Now you bring up the ice conditions, it makes so much sense. If we got a bouncing puck, we're not going to be able to. I think it limits the scoring. I think the under's the way to look here.
And that's what Florida wants. Florida wants to slow down that high-end talent because that's the edge. And going into the series, I thought Florida was deep, and I really undervalued how much high-end talent is worth, right? Because we're always like, oh, much deeper, more important. The longer the series goes, you'll be better. No, and it's that same reason why I like Edmonton to score the last goal in the third period, because they have the best players. But small edges, I mean, we live in a world of small edges. If you're sitting there and you're the guy on the thermostat being like, if we could just crank this up one more, go look at the Reddit threads. This is not just tinfoil hat stuff. I thought it was until I was kind of reading stuff. It's not all out there, but there is some discussion about maybe playing in slightly more humid conditions. So if you're seeing the refs down there squirting water in the crease or squirting water in the ice and rubbing pucks over it, might be some little greasy edges being played for Florida, and that's all they want. They want a slow, muddy game because they have the depth. And if I had that opportunity to do it with Florida, as anybody in those situations, I'd take advantage of those.
I absolutely love it. Final thing, Josh, if you had to make a Conn Smythe bet right now based on the current market price, where would you go?
All right. Before we get to that, you do have Leon for Conn Smythe. I still think there's value on the handoff, especially now that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins isn't there. And those markets are so slow to move. He was the number two betting favorite, like plus 300. McDavid's certainly handing the cup off to it. We price in some of the dumbest things into this market in a market that might not even make any sense. Conn Smythe, oh, value. You got to go Bennett. You got to go Bennett somewhere in that 10 to 1. I have him at 100 to 1. So
yeah, he was 30 to 1 before the series started. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, I loaded up like, because after two rounds, this was a team that was so deep. No one was taking the edge. We're seeing Barkov have to play a lot more defensively. I really thought he would step up. But right now, it's either Marchand or Bennett at those prices. Yeah, and I think Bob and the goaltending are starting to fall a bit too.
Marchand, you can get him 20 to 1 right now as we head into game number 3. He was the hero in game number 2, so maybe more heroics coming on home ice. Josh, appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the game tomorrow. This has been an incredible series so far. I just hope that the rest of it lives up to what we saw here in games 1 and 2.
Yeah, are we going to get another like 5-4 game? Probably not, right? Let the market go up, let those slow conditions and get on that under.
3-1 Oilers win, empty net goal. There we have it. There's your handicap there for game number 3. Yeah. He is Josh Ingles. Check him out, covers.com, on Twitter at @covers_Josh. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Coming up next, we'll get you back into the action going on in the NBA Finals as the Oklahoma City Thunder have a 98-76 lead over the Pacers. Plus the Red Sox, well, they weren't done scoring. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Great stuff there from Josh Ingles from Covers as we talked about the Stanley Cup Final. Game number 3 coming up tomorrow there in Sunrise, Florida. And I thought he made a tremendous point about the ice conditions in Florida. If the humidity is a little high there and if the temperature is a little warmer, then we could get some sloppy ice conditions. And I think sloppy ice conditions lead towards an under. And I know that everyone's excited about the over because game 1 went over, game 2 went over, and everyone wants to bet the overs here in this series. But I do think that we see an under game here in Florida. And we just know Bobrovsky is a little better on home ice than he is on the road. And I would play the under 6.5. 6.5 is already a rare number when it comes to a Stanley Cup final game. I mean, we haven't had many cup finals that have had a total of 6.5. If we just look, let's see, total is greater than or equal to 6. Well, we have to make home teams. If we just look at the history of the database, going back to, what year does it go back to? 2010. Totals of 6 or more, we have had, let's see, 12 games in the Stanley Cup Final that have been lined with a total of 6 or higher. They are 7-5 to the under. But we had 2 games in this series lined at 6.5, and both of them went over the total. So it's rare that we have, look, totals of 6.5. Going back, and again, this database goes back to 2010, right? Or even maybe even before that. But the only times that we've had totals of 6.5 have been in 2013 and here in this series in 2025. A 6.5 total in a Stanley Cup final game is extremely rare. I lean towards the under here, especially if the ice conditions are going to be sloppy. And so that could, you know, and that could be the Panthers' strategy, kind of limit the skills, you know, and the movements of the fast skating Edmonton Oilers and a guy like Connor McDavid, who's just incredible with the puck on his stick. Right now, market has Panthers on DraftKings, at least, minus 142. You can get plus 120 on the Oilers. Here at Circa, it is minus 135. You can get plus 121 on the Edmonton Oilers. Your 6.5 is juiced to the under, minus 120 here at Circa. And that would be the way that I would lean, is the under 6.5 here. I am on Edmonton in both of these games. Only because if you're going to give me plus 120, I'm going to take it on the Edmonton Oilers. And not just playing the plus 120 on the Edmonton Oilers, but the Jonathan Davis special, which you read about at vsin.com, I'm going to play the puck lines and the alternate puck lines. So right now you can get the Edmonton Oilers on an alternate puck line of minus a goal and a half at plus 250. You can get the Panthers minus a goal and a half at plus 180. But I like Edmonton, just I loved Edmonton in this series, but I like Edmonton getting the plus 120 in both of these games here in Florida. And yes, I lean towards the under 6.5 at minus 120 here at Circa. Find a shorter price on whatever book you're going to play it at. And the best bet for me is going to be the same best bet that I've been playing in all these games, which is the Leon Draisaitl over 2.5 shots on goal prop. It has cashed in both games in this final, and should continue to cash, as he is the primary goal scorer for this Oilers team on the power play. You know they look for him in that slot, and so he's going to continue to get pucks on the net. I love his over 2.5 shots on goal prop. Again, Leon Draisaitl, you're going to have to pay a little premium, minus 170, minus 175, but I think it's worth it because he has shown the ability to go over this. In fact, I was kind of joking with Josh Engels, but that's the truth. In both games, 1 and 2, at the end of the first period, I thought I cashed this already. I looked at the box score at the end of both games 1 and 2, at the end of the first period, and he had already had 3 shots on goal, only minutes later to see the stat correction where they take the shot on goal away. And Draisaitl only had 2 shots on goal in the first period in both games 1 and 2. And he wound up going over in both games. And I think he goes over again here in game number 3. So as long, I'm okay with the juice, as long as they don't start posting 3.5s out there. And yes, if they do post the 3.5s, I know the over is going to be at like tremendous plus money. But now I'm banking on a guy to get 4 shots on goal. I'd rather just lay a juice here and go with the over 2.5. That's the way I'd rather play this. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. We're in the bottom of the ninth there in the Bronx. Yankees trailing 11-5 against the Red Sox as Boston put up more insurance runs there in the top of the ninth inning. And once again, the reason why I like this live over was because the Yankee bullpen is a serious problem. As Yankees, a little warning track power there from I don't see who hit that. Ben Rice flies out to the warning track there in right field. The Yankee bullpen continues to be an issue. And it's not just without their closer, Luke Weaver, and Devin Williams having to close games. It's the entirety of this bullpen. They don't have reliable arms. And it's got to be the number one thing that they look to address here throughout the summer, is to bring in some reliable bullpen arms, or at least one more reliable bullpen arm. Because the performance of the bullpen, even though the numbers overall in the season don't look that bad, it has been a bad stretch here for the Yankee pen. So something to keep an eye on here as the season winds down. 6:44 to go in the fourth quarter. The Thunder with a 107-86 lead over the Pacers, as the live line is Thunder -20.5. Your live total is 225.5. And this is crazy. As they keep scoring, you are running. This is getting dangerously close now to where the total was prior to the game. This game closed at 228. And in the first half, we got as low on the live line as 216.5. So for anybody that had the under, you thought you were great in the first half. Here in the second half, we have seen an outburst of scoring. There was 67 points scored in the third quarter. A 34-33 quarter in favor of Oklahoma City. We've already had 31 points scored here in the fourth quarter. We got 6 minutes left in this game. Aaron Judge has just homered for the second time tonight as the Yankees get a couple of runs back. It's now 11-7. So the live inflated over hits again. Judge homers for the second time tonight as he continues to add to his MVP resume. Like, look, he's going to win the MVP. The market's just absurd. I've talked about this a lot here on VSiN. Just forget about betting the MVP markets. These books are going to put up the winner without markets, and that's what we're going to have to bet into, because Judge and Ohtani are going to run away with this. More so Aaron Judge. Two more home runs tonight. Boy, he broke out of his slump in a big way. It's funny. We gave out, before the game started, our best bet on this game was Aaron Judge to go over 1.5 total bases and over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Cash that with the first pitch that he saw, with the two-run home run in the bottom of the first inning. Now the last pitch he sees, a two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth. I wish we would have did the multiple home run game. Imagine what that prop would have paid out. Two-plus home runs for Judge. Or the alternate markets, right? We talk about the alternate markets, and it's like, my goodness, like, we had a chance here for if we played the alternate markets here in the NBA. Imagine playing the alternate markets when it comes to Aaron Judge's total bases props and whatnot. What a number you could have gotten on that. Anyway, let's get back to this game. 111-91 as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has got 31 points right now. So he had 15 in the first half. He's got 31 right now. Isaiah Hartenstein, meanwhile, as we talk about our little sweat here on our 150-1 parlay that's not going to hit. But Hartenstein's got 8 rebounds. And remember the prop that we gave out, the 150-1 parlay that... It was a long shot, but what we did was we took the handicaps that we have on this game. Pacers, team total, go under, all that stuff, and we played like all the alternates. So we went with an extra low total in their first half, extra low total in the first quarter, extra low total for the full game, which probably is not going to hit right now. They have 91 points with 4 minutes left. For the Pacers to go under 98.5 like that, I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see. But we did play Shai to have 40 points. I mean, I wish we would have played him to have 30, but we played him to have 40, and we played Isaiah Hartenstein to have 10 rebounds. Hartenstein's got 8 rebounds. Don't think he's going to get back into this game. I don't know. And also, I'm sweating out. One of the other bets that I placed was over 16.5 Hartenstein points plus rebounds plus assists. 8 points, 4 assists, and 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 points. That does not add up to 17. Nope. That does not add up to 17. That adds up to 15. So I need 2 points from Hartenstein, or 2 rebounds, or a rebound and an assist. Going to sweat this out for the rest of the final 4 minutes. If you want to know where the real money is going, well, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. And right now, you can get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on VSiN, the sports betting network, as it is a 117-98 lead for the Thunder over the Pacers with under 3 minutes to go in regulation. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's got 34 points. His line coming into this game was 34.5, and the starters are still in for Mark Daigneault's Thunder as they look to just stretch this lead and continue to pull away, as they know no lead is ever safe against the Indiana Pacers. But something that I don't like is what I've seen here down this stretch here is they have slowed this game down. I find it fascinating, though, that the starters are still in for the Thunder. Meanwhile, for the Pacers, you got, like, I don't even, like, who's in the game right now? Like, let me see who's on the floor right now. Like, Johnny Furphy is in the game for the Pacers? Like, what? Like, clearly the Pacers know that this game is over. They're emptying their bench. It's 117-99. I know strange things happen, but, like, Mark Daigneault clearly sending a message to his team not taking his starters out, as it looks like he will make a change, and I don't even think that one of those is Hartenstein. Oh, what a bummer this is going to be. 2 minutes and 42 seconds left. There will be a line change here for the Thunder, as it looks like 3 players are going to come into the game, and none of them are going to be my guy Hartenstein. I am going to lose PRA by 2. Points, rebounds, plus assists. Hartenstein, this was a good, I thought it was a good read I expected him to play more minutes than he did in game number one. He played 22 minutes here in game number two, as he played 17 minutes in game number one. I just felt like the rotation was going to have to feature more of Isaiah Hartenstein here in game number two. And he did play more, 22 minutes, so he played five more minutes. But he had 9 rebounds in game number one, 8 rebounds here in game number two, 4 assists and 3 points. So he's going to finish with 15 on your points plus rebounds plus assists market. Even the points, the rebounds, points and rebounds is not going to hit, I don't think, because it's only at 11. And I would imagine that it was higher than that. Same thing with the rebounds and assists. I mean, rebounds with assists, maybe, because his rebound prop was 7.5. So I think he goes over with the 8 and the 4 assists that might have gone over as well. So maybe your rebounds plus assist is there, but I can't imagine that it was that much different than the PRA number. So points, rebounds plus assists for Hartenstein is going to be a loser, as he finishes with 8, 4, and 3. For 15, does not go over the 16.5. Meanwhile, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, if anybody took his over 34.5, this might be a bad beat if he doesn't score for the remainder of this game, if he comes out, as he's got 34 points right now and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. So something that we did think that we were going to see is more free throws for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Right, that was kind of what we thought we were going to get, is more free throws. He only had 8 free throws in game number one. Now 12 free throws here in game number two. So more free throws as he does come out of the game. So Daigneault taking out all the starters, all his guys. 118-100, Thunder lead the Pacers, and this is where it gets interesting. So 18-point lead. We're not talking about the idea of blowing, you know, they could actually, you know, they were 11.5-point favorites. So down the stretch here, could get some spread drama. But your total right now is at 218. This game closed at 228. Live number right now is 225.5. You got the bench guys in. Usually these bench guys don't score. So with a minute 45 left, you know, usually you don't see these guys. They're going to chuck up shots. They're going to dribble out the clock. Probably not going to score, but you never know. But something certainly you can absolutely keep an eye on, as maybe you get some drama here. A three-pointer goes in, and then all of a sudden things get a little more interesting when it comes to this total. Again, 118-100. We're in the final minute and a half of this game. For our second half bet of the Thunder to go over 59 points, we are 1 point away from hitting it. We have the push, though. So they've scored 59 points here in the second half. So worst case scenario, you got to push. But right now, a three-pointer by the Pacers, it is 118-103. So the lead is now 15. This is a drama-filled ending right now. Because if the Pacers score again or don't score, like, Thunder, 11.5-point favorites. They're up 15 right now. Okay? This is, there, whew, tense moments here for anybody who has the minus 11.5. You just want any points here from the Thunder, and you should be good. As we got a foul on the Pacers that will send the Thunder to the free throw line. So one free throw made will cash the second half to go over for the Thunder team total, and should lock up a win for the a cover, I should say, for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that should be, you should get that. 120-105. Oh, wow. 50 seconds left, 120-105, 15-point game, 33 seconds left. Huge, huge shot just now by the Oklahoma City Thunder. A three-pointer goes in. Who made this three? Because that's who you should send your Christmas cards to. As 123-105, the Thunder should hold on and cover this game. The total now. I mean, the game goes over. another. This is a terrible beat. If you had the under in this game, live number in this game got down to as low as 216 and a half. This game closed at 228. In the first half, the Pacers scored 41 points. In the second half, the Pacers scored 66 points. The Thunder score 64 points. So the Pacers win the second half, and the game goes over with over 130 points in the second half. That is a garbage time over. I mean, I'm saying this slowly because I can't believe it. Like, if you had the over, that might be one of your luckiest wins that you've had on your betting schedule. And if you had the under, that is a horrific beat. There were 2 minutes left in the game, and the live line was even 224 and a half, 225. Like, you weren't really in that much jeopardy. Let's see how many points were scored in the final minute of the game. You had, let's see, 2, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 points in the final minute 16. Wow. 12 points scored in the final minute and 16, and this game goes over. That is disgusting. Well, the Oklahoma City Thunder now improved to 17-2 following a loss in this regular season and playoffs combined. 12 of those 17 wins have been by double figures. This was a win and a cover for the Thunder. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finishes with 34 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals. He goes under his points prop of 34.5. So an under for SGA. And also hitting you with an under in this game was, Tyrese Haliburton finished with 17 points. But Shai, 34.5 goes under. Chet Holmgren with 15 points. Jalen Williams with 19 points off the bench. How about Alex Caruso with 20 points? Aaron Wiggins off the bench with 18 points. Our buddy Isaiah Hartenstein only with 3 points. I'm still bitter that we lose this PRA prop, but it is what it is. Hartenstein finishes with 8 rebounds. So if you just isolated his rebound prop, he goes over. He led the team in rebounds, actually. Chet Holmgren had 6. Shai had 5. Jalen Williams had 5. Cason Wallace with 3. Lou Dort with 2. Kenrick Williams with 4 off the bench as well. Aaron Riggins with 4 off the bench. And for the Pacers, 7 rebounds for Pascal Siakam, who has 15 points. Aaron Nesmith, 14. Miles Turner with 16. Andrew Nembhard with 11. And Tyrese Haliburton with 17 off the bench. Benedict Mathurin with 14 points. And TJ McConnell with 11 off the bench. 5 rebounds for Obi Toppin. And for the assists, Tyrese Haliburton with 6 assists. Hey, if you're ready to take your betting to the next level, you can do so at FirstBet. Sign up now at FirstBet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Use promo code VSIN200. Score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to 200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at FirstBet.com. Let's take a look at game number 3 coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSIN.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the sports betting network. It is a final in Oklahoma City, a 123-107 win for the Thunder over the Pacers. Thunder go wire to wire, having the lead at the end of every quarter. Best bets did cash on the Pacers team total to go under in the first quarter, as for the second game in this series, they scored just 20 points in the first quarter. The Thunder did cover the 4.5 in the first quarter with a late basket there, 26-20. So they got a cover in the first quarter, but more importantly, the Pacers team total does go under. So the trend holds true now. That average does go up a little bit here, but it doesn't go up much, as we can now count for 8 times here in this playoffs where the home team has lost game number one, and in game number two, outscoring their opponents in the first quarter coming into tonight, 31-17. That 31 will go down a little bit with the 26 points by the Thunder, and the 17 will go up a little bit. So if I do some quick math, it's more like 30-19 or 30-18. But still, incredible numbers. Going back to the 2021 playoffs, we're talking 29-23 as the home teams that drop game one come out, dominate the first quarter in game number two. Let's take an early look now at game number three, as the series will shift from OKC to Indy with the series even up at a game apiece. And much like we thought it was, and much like the market kind of was in the Western Conference Finals, the Thunder, 5-point favorites on the road in Indy. Series market now is back up to the Thunder -525, and as SGA accordingly is -500 to win the MVP. Looking at the series spread, I still think the bet to be made here is the Thunder minus a game and a half. It's -160 for the Thunder to win this series minus a game and a half. First off, the Thunder are probably winning the next three games. This series is ending in five. They're gonna win four straight games. They are so much better than the Indiana Pacers. And I'm not trying to disrespect Indy, because they have shown us throughout this entire postseason their inability to quit, right? They're always in every game. They're a five-minute spurt away from being either up by 20 or erase a 20-point deficit. They are a talented team. They are no match for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder dominated game number one. They were up 15 points in the fourth quarter and completely let that game fall through their fingertips. They gave that game away, much like the Knicks gave it away in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Thunder gave away game number one. In game number two, it was exactly the same story, except the difference was they didn't give it away. Where the Pacers were able to go on a big run in the fourth quarter in game number one, they were unable to do it here in game number two. But the games played out very similarly. In game number one, Thunder end the first quarter, a Thunder win the first quarter, 29-20. They take a double-digit lead into the half. They're up 15 points in the fourth quarter, but then the Pacers outscore them by 10 in the fourth quarter to win that game, taking the game-winning shot with 0.3 seconds remaining. And what happened here in game number two? Thunder go up by 6 at the end of the first quarter. They go up by double digits at the half. Back and forth, third quarter, just like it was in game number one. The difference was, instead of the Pacers going on a big run in the fourth quarter, the Thunder didn't allow them to. And just think, much like we talked about with the Pacers all these playoffs, one shot away. I mean, this series could easily be 2-0 in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And there's no doubt that minute by minute, if you just look at this entire first two games, it's not even close how much of the play has been dominated by the Oklahoma City Thunder. So yeah, they deserve to be 5-point favorites on the road. Now, I know some people are going to come in and say it's disrespectful to Indy to make them this heavy of a dog at home. Okay. But here's what I will say. If we go back and we look at the Pacers games here in these playoffs, okay? They win the first two games against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. In game number three, they're 1.5-point favorites against the Knicks. That was built in, the whole zigzag spot. I get that. All that fun stuff, okay? Against the Cavs, they win the first two games on the road against the Cavs. Again, they return home for game number three, ultimate zigzag spot. The Cavs were 5.5-point favorites against Indy. Oklahoma City's so much better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I get it. We have to upgrade the Pacers as well. But if we're just looking net rating, just power rating on both of these teams, I mean, is five's probably low. But I get it. You got to respect the Pacers here. But more importantly, you got to respect the zigzag. And that's something that's been incredibly profitable throughout this entire playoffs and profitable in the past several years. Is if you just look at the teams that lose the game in a series, the following game, it's a very profitable trend. If that's all you did here in these NBA playoffs, is bet on the team that lost the previous game to then cover the next game, you're covering over 60%, almost 65% ATS. Incredible numbers. Betting on the team that lost the game to then cover the next game in the series. So the zigzag is pricing in. The market prices all this stuff in. Whereas, you know, hey, Thunder probably should be, you know, 6-point favorites. The zigzag. You can't make them that heavy. You have to give the Pacers something. And we're going to see this throughout the markets too. If you just look at the halves and you look at the quarters, you're going to see that market be adjusted accordingly as well in favor of the Indiana Pacers because being home in game number three, because of that zigzag, you got to respect the way that the market's going to push this. In my opinion, though, I think that as much as I respect the zigzag, as much as I respect the Pacers returning home, these teams aren't close. These teams aren't close. A bet that I would make right now, you can still get it at minus 160, Thunder minus a game and a half in this series. I mean, at least it gives you a little cushion if, in fact, it goes to six and they win 4-2, but I don't even think it gets there. It wouldn't surprise me, and I think it's more likely that the Thunder win the next three games and win this series 4-1 than it goes to six. But by laying the minus 160, you give yourself a little bit of leeway here if, in fact, it goes to six and they win 4-2. Thunder minus a game and a half, minus 160. That's a gift of a price right now. Thunder minus 2.5 games is plus 190. You could have gotten that at like plus 300 prior to this game. So the market did shift a little bit on that. But I still think the minus 160 is a good price here. Thunder minus 1.5 games. They're going to win the next three games, in my opinion. Pacers are a talented team. Pacers deserve a lot of respect. They can't hang with OKC. Good fourth quarter run in game number one. Great fourth quarter run in game number one. This game number two, though, was what should have happened in game number one. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Promo code BOOK. Tomorrow is game number three of the Stanley Cup Final. The series shifting from Edmonton to Sunrise, Florida, where the Panthers, as expected, are a heavier favorite on their home ice as opposed to what Edmonton was on their home ice. Panthers are minus 142, and to me, the value is on the Oilers. These two teams are so even, but you're getting a plus 120 price on the Edmonton Oilers. You can't pass that up. Best bet, though, for me would be to keep attacking Leon Draisaitl. Go over 2.5 shots on goal for Draisaitl. Lay the minus 170. It's worth the juice. He's gone over in both games here in the Stanley Cup Final. He will go over once again here in game number three. We're going to keep attacking Leon Draisaitl shots on goal props. And I lean towards the under 6.5 because if the weather plays a factor here and that ice, we have bad ice conditions because of the heat and temperature outside the arena, I think that this could lean towards a sloppy ice, bouncing puck, under game. Hey, stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Cashing Out with Moose Mark Melusis. And then tomorrow morning, it's VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander back from vacation. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. This has been Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.